it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Made it to Friday once again, and that means we've actually only got a week to go in our Team of the Day series. What a series it's been, Marty.
It is the perfect timing. We've got, a team today, and then
as long as we don't screw it up next week. Yes, the timing
is as long
perfect.
As we don't screw it up, we got four teams next week, and then it's, Prospect Challenge, training camp. So I feel like summertime series is ending. It's like 1 week to the summertime series, the summertime shows, and then it's real talk for real season, real preseason, and real action.
Dude. Prospects Challenge, Sabres style, 1 week from tonight.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, they'll be playing their first game. Actually, 1 week from today will be the first games in the Prospect Tournament. But the Sabres play Friday, Saturday, Monday. But there's games on Thursday next week as well.
Indeed. And we've talked a little bit. We'll talk in greater detail next week about all the names that will be here for the rookie portion of camp, the Prospects Challenge. Of course, all this is right smack in the middle or bookending, depending on how you want to look at it. Fan Fest and Hockey Fest. It's all one big hockey celebration, and it gets going in downtown Buffalo next week. So, but
And goalie week is ending, Duffer. Today's last day of goalie week.
I don't even care. Like, we know who the good goalies are. Like, enough with these ridiculous rankings. But anyway.
Well, I did do my rant list, for the day. And I know we're going to talk about the Utah Mammoth as our team of the day. And we have some baseball talk because over the weekend is going to be
tomorrow,
hockey night.
Tomorrow,
Saturday.
Tomorrow,
hockey night
daytime.
At the ballpark.
Day, not night.
Oh, it's a day game. Sorry, people, if you plan that to go at night, go during the day. Hockey day at the ballpark, yes, with new number 6 throwing out the first pitch.
Right.
Zachary Benson throwing out the first pitch. So 105 game. But I did do my list of my top 10 goalies this, looking at this upcoming season and compared it to NHL Network. So that's on the table if you wish to do so, Duffer, at some point in the show.
You've got me thinking about Zach Benson, the Bisons, how much they knew ahead of time if there was an imminent jersey number switch, and what if they custom made a Benson hockey day jersey for him and he's throwing out the first pitch with 9 on his back?
Well, I think that they have plenty of time to get that figured out.
You think that, but I don't think it's as easy as what you imagine. So
I'll just get another jersey. But I get what you're saying. These are
limited.
What
if it was really Benson blinged out? Like, what if it was like a be all end all, like a great auction item?
Listen, somebody's going to be working overtime. That's like when I was with the Rangers, Rand Callahan broke his hand, right? Blocking a shot. And some of the players were wearing, maybe 2 or 3 players were wearing hand covers on their gloves. And Glenn Seder basically told our trainers, I want like protection on every pairs of gloves that everybody has by tomorrow morning. And we have a game tomorrow and everybody's going to wear them. So our poor two equipment guys worked overnight to make sure they made the protectives and they were sewed onto the gloves.
This is why you can't have general managers being like the rule makers in the game. Like, wow. Seriously. Like, what an overreaction. Okay.
He also
Callie's a shot blocker. He's a great player. He got hurt. Oh, my goodness. Like,
well, everybody ended up with those. And that now every company basically makes the glove reinforced. But not only that, Derek Stepan took a slash 1 year right above the glove and between the elbow pad and the glove. And he had a big welt. So Glenn Seder had a pair of Hespeler gloves, player's gloves that Wayne Gretzky used. Mm-hmm. Those things were like go up to your elbow.
Right.
Like they were the long cuffs. And he said to Step, I want you to try those in practice today. It was hilarious seeing Derek stick handling with that.
Like, it has amazed me over time how little the players try to wear, even though we see them as robotic, you know, and big and, you know, protected, and they are protected, but so many of them choose to go with less protection on the forearm from the elbow pad. And so many choose to expose their wrists despite a standard length of glove that exists that could protect them more. That's just the way it is, right? It's unique. Players want to be themselves. They want to feel it their way. They don't want to be told what to wear.
Well, just to that. So yeah, trainers in the NHL sometimes have to work overnight because of unexpected circumstances. If there is a jersey change that needs to happen for Zach Benson, somebody will do it. It's not as easy as changing the nameplate, though. You can't put a Norris on the number 9 Benson and have him throw the pitch, right? So, but hey, if you've got a Zach Benson jersey, you go to the Sabre store, they'll put a Norris nameplate on there for you. And the number 6 Benson jerseys are 30% off,
right,
so that you can get your updated one.
So we mentioned yesterday when Benson made the switch to 6 and Norris obviously won a 9, that this is the first forward ever in Sabres history to wear number 6. Do you know what jersey number has been worn by the most players in Sabres history? This is according to Hockey Reference.
In Sabres,
there is somebody wearing this current number now.
Okay. I'm going to say 1.
17 has been worn by 29 different players. Oh. And it's currently Jason Zucker.
Zucker, yes. So J.P. Dumont, obviously, at 17, that I remember.
Lloyd Smith started it all. Well, not started all. He actually had it in second year, in 71-72, apparently. Dudley. You want to name some?
Jason Daw wore 17 as well. He had 43, he went to 17.
No. Yes, no? Sorry, yes.
Yes, he had 43 because I knew
he
had mine, but then he had 17, went to 43 or vice versa.
Yeah.
Okay, so Dudley at 17.
Bob Richie, Fred Stanfield, Derek Smith, John Gould, Gilles Hamel, Mike Foligno, Colin Patterson, Todd Simon, Craig Simpson, Brent Hughes, Jason Daw, Randy Cunningworth, Dixon Ward, J.P. Dumont, Marc-Andre Gragnani, Dominic Moore, Rafi Torres, Torrey Mitchell, Linus Omark, David Legwon, Jordan, Nolan, Vladimir Sobotka.
The shootout specialist guy. Okay.
Vladimir Sobotka, Wayne Simmonds, Stephen Fogarty, Mark Jankowski, Tyson Jost, and Jason Zucker.
Okay. This is an easy one.
Yes.
But which number was the least worn?
Well, there's a few of them, but quite a few in the regular numbers.
There was only 111.
Yes, and there's only 100. I know you're selfishly trying to
promote
yourself.
Yeah, I wasn't going to include myself in there. There's only been 160, and that's Paul Gostad, but I mean, seriously.
Right, and only 159. Yeah, there's lots of them. Tim Schaller wore 59. David Moravec wore 64. On and on and it goes. However, there will be a second player. Thank the hockey gods. Noah Oslin will never wear 36 again. He's wearing 86 if he makes the Sabres.
You.
Christian Rolanin wore it before. Oh, my gosh. I don't think I've been so distraught over somebody wearing it.
And Josh Doan will be wearing 91. So your first,
which he wore before. Which is
he wore before. Number. That's fine. But when I saw Konstantelainis at the pictures at the NHLPA rookie showcase, I was like, why? There was a 4 somewhere in his arm. I'm like, so I think his number is 94. So he would become the first 94 in Sabres history if he eventually makes the team.
Did you look this up, or are you just rambling with no point here?
What?
Did you clarify this with the Sabres before you decided to throw this out?
Well, I wonder why you would have a 94 going to the rookie showcase. They all have their own numbers.
Well, I know, but it might actually be in team accessible documents and links right now that you could.
It could be. So don't go out and buy a Lanius 94 jersey.
But. As opposed to causing panic for producer Jeff and I.
To cause panic, like sending people to.
You do.
Don't go to night game to the Bisons tomorrow. Go to the 105 game.
The other numerical changes yesterday. This feels like we're doing the PA announcing. please scratch from your program. Please update your number. Kesselring's got 8, Norris 9, Danforth 15. 15 has quite a history too. Yes. Timmins 21, Zach Jones 28. Oh, here's another trivia one for you. You'll love this. And you've probably already researched it based on you being you.
I don't know.
Number 34, Alex Lyon, will become the sixth goalie to wear number 34 in team history. Can you name the other five?
Well, I do know a player that wore 34, and that's that great hyphenator, Jean-Luc Grandpierre, who commented on the
goalies,
social media.
Goalies.
So goalies, six.
He'll be the sixth goalie to wear 34. Can you name the five others?
Was Michael Nerver 34?
Yes, he was.
Okay, so I've got that. I feel like
he was the best of them all.
Okay. I feel like that's a win, just knowing one of them. Mm-hmm. Yikes. Was Tom Draper? No, Tom Draper was 31, I think. I have no idea who had 34.
Very limited minutes for a lot of them. Darren Elliott.
Okay.
Dave Littman, who I had such incredible high hopes for, based on his Rochester success. This name came up earlier this summer, Peter Skudra.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, because...
but less than a minute.
Less than a minute, yes.
Neuvirth, as mentioned, and Jonas Johansson.
Oh, I should have known. He has 34 in Tampa. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I should have known that.
So Alex Lyon has an opportunity based on his two-year deal to become the most games played by a Sabres goalie wearing 34. This is
a real looking at that list of players that have worn 34 right now. Mm. And your boy is on that list too, who wore number 6 yesterday, and we were talking about him. Mike Weber, he had 34 for maybe a little bit because it says Mike Weber, 2008. Really? He wore the number 34.
That actually has me thinking... What was Webby's draft status? I want to say it was in the 40s. So
it wasn't his draft pick.
That would have been hilarious if it was.
Yeah.
No, he was drafted 57th in the second round.
So I wanted the number 34, but Jean-Luc had 30. Yeah, because when I wasn't allowed to have 00 anymore, I'm like, they're like, what number do you want? And I'm like, I don't know. I hated the number 1, which I wore my first year in Rochester because I was given that number and I couldn't say anything about it. Mm-hmm. So I never liked number 1 for me personally. I never played well in a number 1. So I wanted to move out of that. So my brother was wearing 34 in juniors. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, hey, wouldn't that be cool if we both wear the same jersey number? And 34 was John Van Beesbrook. It was a really good, like, but not a goalie number that you see often back in those days, but you saw a little bit. So I'm like, I'll take 34. They're like, that's Jean-Luc. I'm like, oh, darn it. And so I flipped it over. Mm-hmm. I said, I'll take 43. Mm-hmm. And then they said, you can't. That's a Russian guy. He's been assigned this number. And I was like, why? Who is it? They're like, it was Max, a Finnegan.
Obviously.
But Pizza, yes. Pizza was like, I don't really know. Like, we'll learn to say his name later. So it was funny, but I'm like, hey, he's not in North America yet. I'm taking the number. You give him something else. And I didn't make him an offer, and he got 61. So that worked out.
Well, again, I don't know how long it's been listed as this, but Konsta Hellenius is listed on the Sabres website as 94. So,
yeah, so I was, so,
despite his 91
investigative work, with great details. And,
yeah, but it might have been there the whole year. Like he literally might have been listed as a Sabre at 94 all year, and I didn't know.
You're right. That's correct. It could have been.
So this may not be breaking news, Marty.
We did not.
His AHL number is 91, which is why we think of him as 91. But yes, now that it's all coming back, I'm thinking, okay, did he wear 94 in prospects last year? I don't know. I'm not good at this exercise. Yeah,
something
anymore.
I also just learned, because you mentioned Peter Skudra. Mm-hmm. And if you go to a Hockey Reference,
yes, it's not
it is
Peter
not listed
anymore.
As Peter Skudra. It's Petteris Skudra. Mm-hmm.
So, which ties in with your almost Peter Stastny story yesterday.
Petteris Skudra. Yes. See?
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Let's do, we have baseball talk. Well, it's hockey baseball talk at the bottom of the hour, Pat Malacaro. So let's blast through our team of the day, Utah, because, you know, the other day when I tried to trade the Tampa franchise around the league, I specifically said, like, okay, you don't get their history. Yes. Like, you have to start with them today. Well, I'm sorry, but Utah's not getting that benefit of the doubt from me. This is still a team, franchise, whatever you want to call them, Coyotes Hockey Club Mammoth, that hasn't had a valid playoff experience in the last 13 years. Mm. So they still are who they are. Does that change? Because they got in the COVID year barely and yes, only by extension. Are they a playoff team this year?
So my answer, I want to say yes, because I do like their roster. I do like some of the things that they've done this summer. Obviously, we know they made the trade with the Sabres, adding J.J. Paterka. Highest paid forward on the team. You saw Clayton Keller have a fantastic year last year. Logan Cooley, in his second year, went from 44 points to 65 points. He could be at 80 next year. So I'm looking at their group, and I think this is a good group. It comes down to a couple of things. One, is their goaltending going to be strong enough? And two, they're in the toughest division. Well, in one of the toughest division.
Tougher than the Atlantic. Don't even go there.
Okay. It is not tougher than the Atlantic, but the Central, with Winnipeg, Dallas, and Colorado, which are 1, 2, and 3, it's going to be tight. It's going to be really tight to get in at fourth or wild card 2 at fifth. So it's tough. It's not as tough as the Atlantic, you're right, but it's tough. But I like their team. They do have some cap space, which they better start using now, because you can't just, you know, use it for playoffs anymore. Under Andre Tourigny, and there's, you know, the years with Arizona, but he went from 57 points to 70 points to 77 to 89. There's been a steady progression. In year 5, I feel like they can get to 95 points. Will 95 get you in the playoffs? That's rolling the dice. But I think the Utah Mammoth, for their first year as the Mammoth, will get to 95 points.
Last year, they missed by 7, and the cut was 96.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
They were actually, despite Shayna's roller coaster of emotions with them throughout the year, where she was more up than down. I was, of course, more down than up, as you could tell by my lead into them today. They were sub 500, 52 games into the year.
Yeah.
So they had a decent finishing kick to end 7 games over. And part of that came in the final 10, and part of that needs to be reinforced that they were technically not out of it, but
it was reality garbage time. It was garbage time.
So anyway, they end up missing by 7 points. Worst trivia question of the day. Can you name the last coach, who obviously was in Arizona, not Utah, whose surname did not begin with the letter T? Because they have had Tourigny, Tocchet, and Tippett for a long stretch of time. Do you know who the person was before that? The T train started.
So you said, before Dave Tippett.
Before Tippett.
He was there a long time.
Yes, he was. The great one, the G man.
It was Wayne.
Yes.
My goodness. And Wayne came in after Shoney, maybe?
Shoney, but yeah.
Well,
yeah.
After Shoney, but yeah. Yeah, okay. Shoney was there. They-
oh, Marty, and your microphone.
I know. Seriously, I need
too many wings.
I need to tape that thing as soon as I get excited. They had Tortorella there at one point.
Yeah, they did assistant. Too. Yes.
So they had a T, but no. Okay, Wayne. It's hard to think that Wayne Gretzky was ever a head coach in the National Hockey League.
3 years there, he didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah, and it were 3 tough years. Yeah, and
they were close to 500 a couple of times.
Because his good buddy Charlie Huddy was former Sabres, was on the staff. Dan Grant
Fuhrer was his good buddy. Mike Barnett was the GM.
Yeah. Yeah. Brought the crew together. But Grant Fuhrer was the goalie coach, another former Sabre. But that group, of coaches were faster off the ice than the players. They had a tee time to catch at like 12:30, 1 o'clock, and they were gone in no time.
Wow. Okay. Current day Utah Mammoth. Scoring depth was an issue last year. They acquired J.J. Paterka. Let's start with J.J. specific. He's gone from 32 points to 50 points to 68 points as a member of the Sabres. What does he amass in his first year with the Mammoth?
I think it's going to be between 60 and 70 points. And my problem with J.J. right now is where I think he falls into the lineup. I see their top line as Keller, Logan Cooley, and Dylan Gunther. I see that as a line. Mm-hmm. And so I really like Schmaltz, and I've liked him for back in Arizona. I think he's a great player, and I like J.J. on the wing. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure about their center. Barrett Hayton is their like
he had a career year last year.
He had a career year, yeah, but I'm not sure that that's the legit second-line center that is going to be able to put J.J. at 75, 80 points, right? So I'm saying like 60 to 70 is probably the number. Now, if they go out and get a second-line center and they move Hayton down or whatever, then maybe it changes. That's the only part of their roster right now, and the goaltending to a certain extent, but that's the only part that I'm circling as the second line center because I do like their third line. Lawson Crouse, I've always been a big fan of him.
He had a huge drop off last year.
Huge drop off. Underwhelming has been the word with Lawson Crouse, but I still think there's something there. McBain in the middle, I like him. Kerfoot, I think that's fine. Third line, fourth line, they added Danev. I think they're good. Maybe it doesn't produce as much, but second line center is a big hole right now for the Utah Mammoth.
Well, they can do rock, paper, scissors with the Canucks and fight for whoever is available as a second line center. So,
yes.
Remember the Canucks, all, you know.
The Canadians are looking for second line center too. They got like Kirby Dach that's supposed to be there. So there's a few teams that are looking at like, we need a second line center. This may be a three way like rock, paper, scissors.
Stuff. Does that work?
Yes, because if you and I are paper and producer Jeff is rock, he basically is out, and then you and I go in the finals.
Okay,
so
good.
It's like that's how it works.
I had to really think about that for a second.
like, wait, why is paper beating rock? Rock beats everything.
I was thinking, obviously, if it was three different options that arrived at the same time, what would happen? How would we break that tie since nobody wants the shootout except for me? The Panthers, the Mammoth prospect pipeline is listed as number three by our friend Corey Pronman at The Athletic. So I think when I led you down the path of scoring depth and then you suggested second line center still not what you love, I didn't love their third and fourth line potential for scoring. So I'm curious what their camp is going to look like and whether anybody can make some inroads there. They have nice pieces and they got a high pick this year in the draft, but I don't know whether, you know, like we saw Maverick Lamoureux on the blue line last year, you got Simashev coming. I think this is the last year you're going to see this semblance of defense core in Utah.
Yes,
I think there is going to be, all it takes is two young players to make it. I think you're going to see two young players be full-timers by the time next year rolls around, but maybe it happens this year if they don't start that last year. Unfortunately, they lost two veteran defensemen right off the hop.
The injuries were tough.
So we still have not seen what they look like. Now, granted, Buffalo now has Kesselring and the Mammoth don't, but Kesselring also was not envisioned as, you know, this big player for them last year until Marino got hurt and Durzi got hurt. And the two of them combined to play less than 70 games. So we don't know exactly what the Mammoth are going to look like. And yet
it did open the door for a local product, Nick DeSimone, to play 20 games last year with the Mammoth, which was good. Mm-hmm. He has another year left on his deal. Who knows if he comes in? Maybe they signed Nate Schmidt to a 3-year deal at a lot of money at $3.5 million. But maybe they give DeSimone a look as a 7D at some point or with injury as a call up. He performed well last year. He played steady when he was in the lineup.
Obviously with Schmidt, like I feel like people are overreacting to the term. Like the dollars are so low based on Like he's at best a 4-5. He might be a 5-6. He's got experience and he just won a cup. Like, I don't know. I feel like people are like, why would you do it? So they're not asking him to be number one. They have Sergachev to be number one. They have Durzi and Marino, you know, to slot in ahead here. So I think the signing is a good one for Utah.
So the reason why the number pops out at $3.5 million for 3 years is because he was making $800,000 the year before. He basically signed a 1 year deal in Florida. Yeah. At $800,000, and it was like nobody really wanted him after making almost $6 million Vegas and whatever. So yeah. Then it's like, well, is Nate Schmidt done? At 33, 34 years old, is he done? We'll give him $800,000. So he goes from making $800,000, winning the cup, mm-hmm. and then boom, he gets a 3 year deal at $3.5 million. So there's a big jump, but he proved it and he played well.
But he didn't have to prove it. He's got a boatload of games. He's got a cup win. And 3.5 is like chump change in the world of the cap going up. And it's not like they're up against the cap and put themselves in a tough spot here. I don't know. I feel like there's anti-Schmidt bias, and I don't understand it. So, anyway.
He bounced around a lot, too. Like, Vegas signs him to the deal, and then he went to Vancouver, and then he went to Winnipeg. And yeah. I just feel like it's like he's had a bad rap a little bit as a – maybe he's just over the hill, but I don't think he is. So that's the thing.
This was not intended to go down this path. Segment. But here's the thing. Like, players sometimes get a player's contract gets in the way of who they are, right? Yes. And he started moving. But, like, the most important thing here is Paul Maurice had him in Winnipeg. So Paul Maurice could trust him. And when that pays off, like, I don't know what Turini's relationship is with this guy, but there's a reason he has been liked wherever he's been. And I think that's important, especially when you can now add winner to your, you know, your resume.
You know who Nate Schmidt is? And there's a Sabres reference to that to a certain extent.
Who?
Nate Schmidt is like Zach Bogosian. Where it's like, the rest of the league thinks you may not be that good, and then you play for a team or somebody, and it's a good connection, and you're loved. Like Zach Bogosian right now.
Look at his last 5 years in the NHL. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, but they love him in Minnesota. Right. They're like, hey.
He was loved everywhere he went.
He was loved in Tampa. He was loved. And so Zach Bogosian kind of gathers a bad rep around the league. He's slow, he's old, does that, the other thing. He's only 34. But Nate Schmidt is like Zach Bogosian, where there's a little bit of a negative that follows the name, but there shouldn't be because he gets the job done.
All right, we're talking hockey and baseball coming up, and we definitely want you to enter now to win an autographed jersey from Zach Benson and Josh Norris in honor of their new numbers for the coming season. This is fantastic. So visit sabres.com/enter for your chance to win. Of course, Benson now sporting number 6. Norris sports number 9. Benson plays a big role at the ballpark tomorrow. That story is next on Sabres Live.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.